Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda Ellsworth, and here we are on Tuesday with Tuesday Tips. I love my Tuesday tips because they're short, sweet, and simple. I hope you enjoy them too. Make sure if it's your first time checking us out, on Mondays we do business interviews with entrepreneurs, and on Thursday we do interviews with artists. So we like to keep everybody in the know. The things that business entrepreneurs are so good at are sometimes and often the things that artists aren't good at, and the things that artists just absolutely sail through, like building a fan base, are sometimes the things that our business entrepreneurs struggle with. So we hope to bring you a complete full mix of everything that you will need in order to operate your business, build a really good super fan base, and be able to continue to thrive. Our Tuesday tip this week is the five mistakes that many entrepreneurs make. So today we're going to do a deep dive. This one might be longer than 12 minutes, but let's dive into it. Number one, hands down, is failure to launch and create momentum. I see this all of the time where people decide that they're going to start their business, they're going to create a launch, they're very excited, but, and this goes against what I've heard many other people say, is just get started. Just do it. You can always perfect it later. And I agree with that advice wholeheartedly, but there is still a launch. Even if you are not 100% ready, you want to launch your new business. You want to spend a couple of weeks creating some hype around it that you're so excited that you can't wait. You're so excited to share some tips or information with them. When you start to create some energy ahead of time, you will find that people will begin talking about it, and you can create more energy around that. Get all of your ducks in a row so that you can create that momentum. What people do is they will launch bits and pieces of their business. I do a lot of consulting, and I try to get a whole new onboarding set for a company, and I'll say, okay, you know, we want to do emails, we want to have a back office training center, we want to have several things in order. And what I find is that companies get impatient and they just want to get, let's just start the emails right now. Let's just do the email drip campaign. We'll do that and then we'll work on this and then we'll get that out. And if they would just be patient and wait for a couple of months and get everything done and launch it at one time, it's new, it's exciting, it creates excitement for your sales force, it creates excitement for your employees or for your customers. That's what you're trying to create. So it's this sort of failure to launch. And a launch for a lot of people is they just don't get all of their ducks in a row and they sort of limp along. You want to have a really good, at least 2-week campaign that you have completely planned out from beginning to end. And actually, I always try to do my launches. I will try to do 2 weeks prior to the event, just sort of pumping it, not saying exactly everything about what it is, but how I'm so excited. They should be excited. Invite your friends here, you know, let people know when this launch is going to happen, and then have one big real sort of launch date, but plan on extending that for about 2 weeks so that you can actually see the whole thing come to fruition. I find that it gains momentum if you already have those 2 weeks planned out so that you are going to continue to either do posts or go live or have testimonials or have people sharing. You want to keep some energy around that so you create an effective launch, and this creates momentum for your business. When you don't get that momentum, and a lot of people talking about it, get a lot of sales straight out of the gate, when you can get that, then people are buzzing about it and having people share online about it and how excited they are that they snagged it or grabbed it or whatever you might be selling or doing. But it is important that you have a well-mapped out plan that will keep energy and focus on your business. Number two is failure to seek out additional resources. Here's what you need to do, but you don't know how to do it. And you fail to really seek out that additional expertise. Now, a lot of times this comes with costs. And so you're trying to save cost and you say, okay, you know, I just can't afford to do that right now. And that often can be the case. But then try to find a mentoring group or get in part of a group that you can get some answers. That's probably one of the best ways in today's times is to find a group that is doing what you're doing, join that group, and then ask questions. A lot of times you can get answers for a much smaller cost of joining a group. Like, let's say there's several things that you really need to learn how to do. You can join a group if you're a new book author and you're wanting to know how to launch your book, then you would want to join a group like that. And maybe it's $59 a month. Maybe it's $97 a month. That is going to be much cheaper than taking three or four courses that might be several hundreds of dollars in order for you to get very similar to the same information. What you might find, though, is several people saying, oh, I took this course and it was incredible. What happens is there are so many courses out there that oftentimes you don't know exactly which one is going to be the one that you need. And so by joining some of these groups, you can actually find out what are resources or apps or plugins that you might need to do in order to really launch your business. And you might find out what is the best course or biggest bang for your buck in order to get the information that you need. And then, of course, we talked about just do it, get it out there. Don't try to be a perfectionist. But in doing that, you always want to say, okay, here's what I did. What else can I learn from that? Take what you did and don't ever look at it as a failure and say, how can I make this better the next time? We have launched a planner now for 4 consecutive years. Pretty soon, we will be coming up on our 5th launch of this planner. And what's really awesome about it is the product itself has gotten better each and every single year because we've listened to our customers. But our launch has gotten better each and every single year because we've learned from some of our early mistakes and just really perfected it. I never sit and say, oh, that was a nightmare, or we should have never done that. I just learn from it and say, okay, here's what we did last year. How can we make that a little bit better? What would that look like? And of course, I watch other launches and participate in other launches of other entrepreneurs and see what is the latest and greatest that people are doing. Number 3 is probably one of the biggest ones, and this is ongoing, but it is certainly a struggle that many brand new entrepreneurs have, and that is simply learning how to be self-employed. Being self-employed seems like really exciting, and oh, I get to create my own schedule. I get to be as flexible, do what I want, when I want to do it, but at the bottom line, folks, you got to work. And so you have to figure out what that does that look like for you in your situation. And if you want to have that flexibility and do the things you want on the times you want to do them, that's great. But then you have to schedule that time to do the work as well. Scheduling your time is probably one of the most important things you will do. Now, does that mean that you have to schedule every waking minute of every day? No. But it also means you can schedule the times that you want to do things for yourself or do things for your family. But the more that you are able to create some good habit patterns around being self-employed, some discipline, I even say little games you can play with yourself in order to challenge yourself to get things done in the time frame of which you have available to you or that which you've chosen to work, whatever that looks like. So being self-employed for a lot of people is extremely hard, and it's finding the right balance, the right routine, the right habit patterns to create that are going to help you be successful in where you want to be. Number four is become a master at your craft. Practice, practice, practice. Now, this is one of the things I will say hands down that our artistic entrepreneurs have on our business entrepreneurs. They understand this skill set probably better than anybody else. And that is, you have to master your craft, right? You just keep doing it and perfecting it. And what I find with a lot of business entrepreneurs is they'll launch something or try something or do something, and they don't take the time to continue to master that craft. Yes, I can remember doing my first sales presentations, and they weren't great. I was a nervous wreck. I still can remember, and it was a long time ago that I did my first ever sales presentation. But I have to tell you, I practiced. I practiced when I was walking. I practiced when I was driving down the road. I practiced this sales presentation until I had it down so that I didn't have to even have time to think about being nervous. I could learn to improvise when I knew it really well. Then I could improvise and tell a funny story or make it interesting or, you know, have conversations with my audience or my customers or whoever it was, and then still know my material well enough to get sort of back on track. You have to become a master of your craft. And I have to tell you that even after being an entrepreneur for 30 years, is I've continually had to learn new things depending on how times change with technology, with new things that are available, with new tools that are available. And then you learn a better way to do something and you continue to be a master of your craft. And I see a lot of people find one way to do something, don't continue to learn. When that flatlines, they just really don't know how to keep themselves moving in a forward direction. So make sure that you practice, practice, practice. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether that's going live, whether that is writing a blog, whether that is doing your podcast, whether that is writing chapters out of a book, whether you even think about speeches. I remember one time I was asked to speak upon arriving in Bermuda, and I was not expecting to at all. And it was kind of impromptu that they said, we'd like you to share these sales strategies and tips. And the president of Colgate-Palmolive was there. It was like, oh my gosh. And I was a nervous wreck. And I did it and it went really well. But I remember coming home thinking, I'm never going to be that nervous again. So what are things that I could learn to speak on in case someone were to ask me, I would be ready. And I just used to practice all kinds of different speeches and deliveries. And guess what? When I started to become a professional speaker, that served me extremely well to be able to practice a speech, learn, you know, the beginning, then go to the end, then figure out your 3 points in the middle and actually do that effectively. And I got better and better at that. I got better at my timing and knowing by just looking at a clock exactly what my 3 points will take me through, how to time that exactly into a 30-minute slot, whatever that looked like. That's when you get really good at something, is when you practice well enough that it almost comes naturally to you and you're able to adjust really on a dime. So that's when you really start to see magic happen. And then number five is they place blame for your lack of success on others. And this is another really big one, is taking ownership for what did not work. Do not sit and say, well, if we would have had the right tools, if this person would have did this correctly, we didn't get our emails out in time. Yep, maybe that was a problem, but then where was your responsibility in that? What did you do to check, especially in a launch, that this was going to take place or going to happen? And the more that you sit in a mindset of complaining and placing blame and saying, well, I could have been successful, but, you know, it's really hard for me to be successful because. And when I hear those words come out of people's mouths, I always think, you're just confessing your reality. It's going to continue to be difficult because you believe that that is what caused it. No, when I have something that doesn't go quite as well as I want it to go, I step back and say, okay, what could I have done differently? Where can I gain that knowledge so the next time I don't make that same mistake, that that doesn't happen again? That's immediately where my mind goes. I don't blame other people for why my business is not where it wants to be. You know, I have employees. Sometimes things aren't done exactly the way that you would like it done. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's my business. And if I want it to be done right, I need to either choose to oversee it. I need to choose to let it go. I need to choose to do whatever. But I can't blame any of them for why my business is not going in the direction that it's going. And if it's time to get maybe some new people, it's time to get new people on your team. Sometimes that does happen. Or finding the right people and finding the right job for the people that you have on your team. Sometimes it's a matter of just shifting around. If somebody isn't really doing what they're good at and what they shine in, it's finding that right space for that individual. But I can say to you that it really stops with you. You have to learn to take ownership for why something worked or didn't work, and then figure out a new path. The more you stay in, oh gosh, that happened because we didn't have the right this. Oh gosh, our internet went down and that happened. Well, yeah, that was a real drag, but what was plan B? What was your backup plan? So this is where I see the top five mistakes that many entrepreneurs make in their success journey. So I hope that you can self-correct on some of these, work on some of these, and you will see a greater level of success no matter what it is that you're doing and wherever you are in your journey. So thanks everybody for tuning in to Work From Your Happy Place. Make sure you check out our interviews on Mondays and Thursdays. We really love the people that we interview. It's so inspirational and you learn so many different things. And you know what? Many days you just need to be inspired. You need to just be inspired by someone else's story. And that's enough to what? Kind of get you through a day that maybe you're having a rough time. The more that we're inspired by others, the more that we realize that it is possible for us to do whatever it is that we want to do. So we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.